Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Trust excellence built on 40 years of experience. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more about the Zurich Master Trust.
Nations of the civilized world to refuse to implement any international criminal court arrest warrants issued against its leaders. The ICC announced, as you know, arrest warrant procedures for three Hamas officials, as well as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and his Defence Minister Yoav Gallant. The charges relate to war crimes and crimes against humanity during the October 7th Hamas attack and the seven-month war in Gaza afterwards. Meanwhile, food deliveries through Rafah's crossing with Egypt has been suspended due to a lack of supplies and insecurity, the UN Agency for Palestinians said today. For the latest on the humanitarian crisis in Gaza, I'm joined by Ricardo Pires, who's communications manager with UNICEF, who's currently in Amman. Ricardo, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me.
We're told that there's still fierce fighting continuing across the region. Is this what you're being told as well?
Yeah, absolutely. The current situation in Gaza has reached unprecedented emergency levels. We've seen fighting increasing in Rafah, in the middle areas, and in the north. Gaza's children have suffered terribly in this war, and it seems like the worst days are yet to come.
In Gaza and also in the West Bank, we believe.
Indeed. We've seen the military operations today in Jenin. We have heard of reports of children being killed. Many have been forced to shelter in schools while they were going about their days. And we're very concerned about what's happening in the West Bank as well.
Can I ask you about the impact that the IDF operation in Rafah has had on your operations in Gaza? How has it impacted delivering aid?
So our operations are severely impacted by what's happened since the ground incursion started in Rafah. We're very concerned that this will yet worsen in the coming days and weeks. We know that most of the crossings for humanitarian aid are closed for the time being. So whatever is getting in is just far from sufficient. It's a drop in the ocean that has been created by this war of the needs of children. And we know hundreds of thousands are at high risk right now by the bullets that are flying around on the ground and the bombs that are being dropped from the sky and coming from the sea. It's a very desperate situation.
And some of the crossings are closed, as you say, but the crossings that are open, are aid trucks still delayed by a significant amount of time because of checking of what's on the trucks?
Absolutely. Very few UN trucks are getting through, UNICEF trucks. We know that an estimated 2,000 trucks and 10 million liters of fuel are waiting in the Egyptian side of the border, not allowed in by any of the crossings. So again, the children are dying on the ground. They're malnourished. They're sick. They're traumatizing, knowing that not very far from where they're suffering, there is life-saving supplies ready to go in.
I spoke with a lawyer, a spokesperson for UK Lawyers for Israel on the programme yesterday, ostensibly about the arrest warrants issued, but the charges as well. And he denied that there was the level of starvation being put forward, that being put forward by various agencies. And he mentioned the UN, but also at the ICC in terms of looking for the arrest warrants. He said there was no evidence of it.
Now, we're very aware of credible reports on the ground that children are indeed malnourished. They're hungry, they're desperate, they're ill, they're traumatized, as I said. So I can't comment on what others are saying, whether it's true or not, but what we're seeing on the ground, and I speak to colleagues every day from UNICEF, they say it's never been more desperate since a couple of days, or actually more than 10 days since the Rafah incursion started. Mm.
A severe lack of food then. What about clean water, Ricardo?
Also an issue. There's not enough clean water for hundreds of thousands of children who are, again, on the move. They've been forcibly displaced from Rafah. They're gathering in areas that are not safe for them, that lack everything that a child needs right now, including water. Desalination plants are not working at their full capacity, and without fuel, many of them might start collapsing. So it's a very, very dire condition, including with the lack of safe water to drink.
We know about US efforts to anchor that pier at Gaza and to bring aid in that way, but surely the most effective way is to open the gates and to lift the blockades on border crossings. This is what Tedros Ghebreyesus from the WHO has called for. I'm sure you and UNICEF would echo that.
Absolutely, we would echo that. It's any aid at this point is welcome, of course, but the volume of aid that is getting through or got through over the weekend via the pier is the equivalent of 19 trucks. So if you look at before October 7th, an average of 500 trucks were needed every day in the Gaza Strip with commercial goods and humanitarian aid. And right now, if you're talking about 19 trucks getting through the pier, again, it's a drop in the ocean. It's not going to solve the problem.
How many people do we know? Is there any way of estimating this? Have starved to death in Gaza?
Well, I can only speak on the numbers of children that we've heard have died of severe acute malnutrition. And the numbers we got are at 25 children. But again, it's very difficult to access the north where the situation is much more severe, given the ongoing escalations and violence. So we are very, very concerned that these numbers are actually a very high underestimate of the suffering and the hunger levels that are taking place across the Gaza Strip.
Yeah, it's ghastly, isn't it, that 25 children have died when trucks were lining out full of food outside the gate.
Indeed, very close by at the border, and were not allowed in.
I wonder how this war can be ended. Is there any way of doing it in the near future? Realistic way.
Well, we keep calling for a ceasefire. That's all the UN and UNICEF can do at this point, and for all the crossings to open so that the humanitarian aid can flow, the guns can go silent, and the hostages can be returned to their homes. But as we're seeing, the violence is escalating, and it's, as we said earlier, moving including to the West Bank. So we're running out of words literally to describe the desperation and the urgency for more humanitarian aid to get in and for the violence to stop. Children are, again, at the very sharp end of a crisis that they never asked for. Mm.
You know, there are images that stay, I'm sure, with our listeners, based on the conversations we had with you and people like you and medics who've returned from Gaza, phosphorus burns and children being operated on, screaming for hours before they succumb to the pain and injury. And now you've left me with an indelible image of a child or children starving to death with food outside the gate. It's just unbelievable. I just wonder if the ICC declaration and the arrest warrants being sought for Yoav Gallant, the defence minister, and the prime minister in Israel, has that made, have you discerned any difference already? Has it made things better or worse, or have you noticed any difference?
Look, we respect the independence of the ICC and have neither the mandate nor the practice to comment on such proceedings. I think what children need right now is a ceasefire, is more humanitarian aid getting in. Obviously, any action that can create a positive effect for this violence to end is very, very welcome at this point. And again, we respect and acknowledge the independence of the court, but we hope that something moves quicker and that this suffering ends tomorrow, because it's up to those in power to halt this horror for hundreds of thousands of children. So this decision can be made by people, and it needs to be made as soon as possible before an even greater catastrophe unfolds.
What are relations like, can I ask you, between Israel right now and UN agencies like your own? Because almost invariably when we talk to Israeli government spokespeople or people on behalf of Israel, they cast aspersions on the UN and its activity. What are relations like?
Well, I think the relations are very sensitive at this point. As you mentioned, the UN has been targeted many times throughout these last 7 months. Our credibility has been put at question, and it's difficult to navigate all this, but our senior managers, our senior staff are trying their best to do private advocacy so this war can end and a ceasefire can be achieved. But It seems like the UN right now, the best shot we have is really to respond to the humanitarian needs on the ground while hoping that those in power acknowledge that compassion and international humanitarian law must prevail over violence and war.
Do you think finally the US could do more to protect the UN and the integrity of the service you provide?
Look, I think everybody can do more at this point. What we've seen here is a historical catastrophe for children in the Gaza Strip who again have been suffering from previous escalations and their mental health has been really stretched even before October 7th. Now we can imagine that every single child in the Gaza Strip is traumatized. So yes, we can all do more to prevent this horror from prevailing.
Okay, Ricardo Pires, Communications Manager with UNICEF. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. You can text us to 51551. After a very quick break, we'll discuss a new report that suggests that higher levels of maths anxiety in primary school among female students might be discouraging girls here from pursuing STEM subjects.